You know it's local radio when we go straight from the pie competition to the state representative. So we've got Greg Meyer, State House representative from District 50 here in the studio, continuing the conversation that we've been having for this hour, not just about what to expect from, in this case, state government in the next couple of years, but also what we can do as individuals moving forward for the next 2 years and beyond to make this country a better place. Greg Meyer, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me. And I'm going to tell my wife she needs to enter a pie in the contest.
She should. It's going to be a lot of fun this Saturday. The weather's going to be good.
She says she makes the best pie crust, and we could find
there
out.
There is now officially a way to find out, yeah. Although, you got to combine efforts with the person who makes the best pie ingredients, right? Does she also make the best pie ingredients?
That might actually be her mother.
Okay, gotcha. That's a good answer, by the way. Like a live microphone. Does your wife make the best pies? Yes, she does. Okay, so first of all, congratulations on getting reelected.
Thank you.
That just happened last week. But kind of a disappointing result for Democrats at the state government level. Obviously, we're still waiting for the results to come in from the gubernatorial race, looking promising for Roy Cooper, but not enough of a pickup in the state House or the state Senate to overcome the veto-proof majority that the Republicans had. So what do we expect to see in the next couple of years?
And we had a net gain of one pickup in the House of Representatives. We won four seats, four Republican seats in Mecklenburg and Wake counties, two each. But we lost three seats held by Democrats from rural counties. So, you know, that really represents what happened in North Carolina on Election Day, that Democrats won in urban counties and lost in rural counties. And even our incumbents in rural counties weren't able to hold on. But Roy Cooper winning is a great thing for Democrats. I'm very optimistic about that, and very glad that Josh Stein won, very glad that Mike Morgan won. The optimistic spin on it is Democrats will now hold two out of three branches of government. And so what can we do? Well, the challenge is, even with that optimism, the challenge is North Carolina has a relatively weak governor, just based on constitutional authority. The legislature still holds lots of power, and I am sure that the Republican legislature is already drawing up plans for how they can run their ideas and ideology right over Roy Cooper and over his vetoes.
Yeah. So what is the importance of having a Democrat in the governor's seat over and above legislation?
Well, I mean, the governor gets to set the tone for a state. Certainly, the governor has a bully pulpit no matter who controls the legislature, and the governor can be out there promoting ideas and approaches. For instance, under Governor McCrory, the economic development people, the commerce people in North Carolina have never given us a true accounting of how much money we've lost because of House Bill 2.
Mm.
With Governor Cooper in place and having an economic development team that is going to support his agenda, we'll have a lot more information about how much that one law is hurting us. So, you know, that's the type of thing you can do with the bully pulpit and with the apparatus of state government. I think that there's also just the opportunity that he has to oversee state departments and the work that they do. And so what is the Department of Health and Human Services doing? What is economic development doing? All of the roles that state government plays in just keeping things moving around here.
Flip side of that, what's the thing we ought to be the most concerned about?
I think we should be concerned that we know that the Republican legislature is not hesitant to use their power for in very abrupt and seemingly anti-democratic ways. And so one of the big risks is we know that Republicans are floating the idea of using their constitutional power and authority to pack the Supreme Court by adding two Supreme Court justices who would not be elected. And to me, that's they can do it. They have the constitutional ability to do it, and they've got the numbers to do it in the legislature, but it's a direct threat to democracy.
How are you having conversations with people in the state legislature? Is that, I know we've been talking about it on the air today with a couple of people already. I know there have been reports in a number of media outlets. Is this actually a thing?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe that we will likely be called into session in the week after Thanksgiving or the first full week in December, and I think that obviously, governor's told us that Hurricane Matthew recovery spending will be on the agenda, but I also think it's quite possible that the court packing will be there. It's a thing because they know they have the power. It's a thing because they probably believe that the political damage they would take, that they can afford to take, because it's going to be a while until the next election, and people might not remember, and people might not be paying attention. And because they think that it will help them to sustain their policy agenda.
Speaking with Greg Meyer, by the way, state representative from Chapel Hill, what should individuals do right now for that particular issue? Obviously, we always tell people contact their state legislators, but if you're in Chapel Hill, you've got Greg Meyer, Verla Insko, Valerie Fouché, you're going to be fighting against this already. So what can individuals do about that?
Well, I think they certainly can contact us. They're welcome to contact us at any time. They also can contact the governor. The governor has the opportunity to veto any attempt to do that. If Governor McCrory wants to maintain any semblance of a legacy, he probably shouldn't go out in a court packing scandal.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that people have the right to express to legislative leadership and the governor that, given that our Supreme Court is elected, and has elected 7 members, because it's currently constituted at 7 members, that appointing 2 more justices essentially takes away the value of the votes that you cast for all 7 members, not just the one we elected this year, but all of them, because it dilutes the impact that you had as a populace on who you chose to be in that court. You didn't vote for legislators to be Supreme Court justices. You didn't vote for the governor to pick Supreme Court justices. You voted for Supreme Court justices. And so if the legislature and the governor take that away, it's the type of politicization of the judiciary that really makes people hate politics.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to have checks and balances and a third branch of government that has the wisdom and the independence to watch out for what we do in the legislature and watch out for the power of an executive branch. And in this case, those two branches are going to combine just to get the judiciary under their thumb.
And in a way that has not been done in decades and decades, if at all. We were talking with Jerry Cohen last hour, and he said, yeah, it's been 7 since, I think he said 1937, it's been 7 members of the Supreme Court. So it's not like they change this on a regular basis.
Let me point this out. At the Supreme Court building itself, the bench only has room for 7 people. The building only has 7 offices for Supreme Court justices.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Speaking with... I don't even want to think about it. Speaking with State Representative Greg Meyer.
I appreciate the editorializing, Aaron.
It's an infrastructure project. You know, you go in, you renovate the building, you add those 2 more offices. It's all that economic development money, eats into the money that got taken away from HB2. This is the return to the state. Right?
So maybe we need to spin it as the Republicans are taking more of your tax money from rural areas and spending it on Raleigh.
There you go. All right, State Representative Greg Meyer. Speaking with. So what can be achieved in the next 2 years?
Well, when you have divided government, you do have some opportunities. Divided government usually ends up in gridlock. Obviously, the Republicans, with the ability to overturn vetoes, don't have to be stuck in gridlock in the way that Congress is. But in a divided government, you also have some incentives to find things that are bipartisan solutions that everybody can go home and campaign on. And so I do think there's going to be some opportunities for the governor to get out there, Governor Cooper to get out there with ideas that he's going to sell across the state of North Carolina, and the legislature has a good reason to want to support, because they'll be able to campaign on them too. We just got to figure out what are those big ideas and what are the types of things that we can agree on. So right now it seems like there's a lot of people on both sides of the aisle that agree on infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So all right, well, we've just passed a bond project and maybe we'll invest some more money in infrastructure. We don't have enough people to build all that stuff. We have a shortage of skilled tradespeople in North Carolina that means that our new home building is already about 180 days behind schedule. So if you're going to go and build roads and buildings, who's going to do it? So I think the governor has the opportunity to say, here's a vision for how we train more people in the skilled trades. These are good working class jobs. People in every part of the state can be trained for these jobs and take these jobs. And the legislature would have a strong incentive to go along with something like that.
I love the fact, I love it when all of the interviews I do on a given day just come full circle, because literally the only person I've had on today who hasn't talked about Supreme Court packing is Lawrence Yoon, who is a realty expert, and he started out talking about this shortage of skilled workers and how we need to do something about that in order to overcome that shortage, and wouldn't that be great for both parties to agree on?
It would be great. And look, yeah. People are talking about Democrats lost this election because we lost rural voters, and rural voters are concerned about the economic status of the country, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, I would love to have a Democratic governor go out there and give a sales pitch to rural North Carolina to say, we know that your communities are hurting. We also know that you have never forgotten how to work with your hands. We want to put you to work. We want people from your communities to be the one that build the newest and brightest and strongest pieces in North Carolina. Come work with us to do this.
What are the obstacles to infrastructure? Because I feel like that's something that everyone is 100% on board with, and yet we never seem to quite get there.
Well, I mean, the biggest obstacle is the willingness to spend the money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Governor McCrory really pushed for the infrastructure bonds that were passed earlier this year because he wanted to be able to campaign on those. Realistically, the size of those bonds, we could have probably budgeted for that in the state budget, or we could have done a more ambitious bond. But the Republicans didn't want to increase the state budget to pay for that stuff, and they didn't want to do a bigger bond. There were a lot of people who said the size of that bond proposal was too small. And so that all of that is based in their ideology, where they just don't want to raise taxes for public investments, even if it's in infrastructure.
Speaking with State Representative Greg Meyer, and Greg, we got to let you go in a couple of minutes, but I want to wrap up by talking about what individuals ought to do, just not even just in government, but in general, because we've had this extremely contentious election. We're so divided. We've had so many reports in the last week of violence, harassment, attacks, threats being levied by some people on other people. And I've been saying this since last week, that America is not who is in the White House. America is the people, and we make the country what we want it to be. And it's the same thing with North Carolina. Pat McCrory or Roy Cooper being in the governor doesn't make North Carolina what it is. North Carolinians make North Carolina what it is. So what's your message to individual? What should we do differently going forward?
Well, I mean, it takes people to build a civil society. If you want authoritarian government, then fine. Sit on your couch and drop bombs on Facebook and don't actually do anything. But we have the opportunity after this election for people to say, I want to make our world a better place. I'm going to join an organization, whether that be a political organization, a nonprofit organization, a nonpartisan advocacy organization. I'm going to get involved with two or three organizations. I'm going to figure out, what are they doing? How can I help them fight for what they want to do? How can I help them organize people who will vote on that issue? There have been plenty of times in North Carolina and the United States that have been darker than where we are right now. And it always takes people coming together and organizing and figuring out how to push their government to be responsive to the needs of the people. And that can't only happen in election seasons. It has to happen year-round, day after day, for us to have a truly functioning civil society. You can do that no matter who you voted for, and everything I just said would be true even if Hillary Clinton was president.
Mm-hmm. And just before we let you go, you're sitting on the couch right now, knowing what you know. You hear the state representative saying that, and you think, okay, he's right. I'm going to get off the couch and go somewhere. Where are the organizations that you would go?
Well, I would send people to the Democratic Party if I have a vested interest. You know, I don't, but I mean, sincerely, like, there are political organizations, both partisan ones like the Democratic Party and nonpartisan ones like the League of Women Voters or the NAACP, where you can get involved to help to organize communities and organize voters and organize pressure on issues. But we live in a community in a state that also has a wealth of nonprofit organizations who are all doing incredible work and make our place, our world a better place to live. And when we don't have a government that wants to service as many of the needs of the people as we want them to service, it takes us coming together in community through nonprofits, churches, civic organizations to say we can do this. We don't have to wait for a president to say we can do this. We're just going to do this for our people because we think it's the right thing to do.
State Representative Greg Meyer, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Aaron. Always good to be here.